The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus told his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out at dawn to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with them for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. Going out about 9 o'clock, the landowner saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You too go into my vineyard, and I will give you what is just." So they went off. And he went out again around noon and around 3 o'clock and did likewise. Going out about 5 o'clock, the landowner found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" They answered, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You too go into my vineyard." When it was evening, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Summon the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and ending with the first." When those who had started about 5 o'clock came, each received the usual daily wage. So when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also got the usual wage. And on receiving it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last ones worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who bore the day's burden and the heat." He said to one of them in reply, "My friend, I am not cheating you. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what is yours and go. What if I wish to give this last one the same as you? Or am I not free to do as I wish with my own money? Are you envious because I am generous?" Thus the last will be first, and the first will be last. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Story yesterday of a banker, a very rich man who had done well for himself, but he realized that his daughter, his only daughter, was perhaps getting to the point of getting a little spoiled, perhaps is the word. And so he decided one remedy would be to send his daughter for a week to live with a relative who owned a farm. And this relative didn't have a whole lot and stuff, and thought, "Well, if I send my daughter there, maybe she'll realize what she has." And so he took her out, and she stayed that week with the farmer. And as he picked her up, he said, "Well, what do you think?" And she said, "Oh, Dad, we only have one dog. They have four dogs to play with. And I have to go and find friends to play with when I'm home, but I didn't have to do that at all when I was there. There was always laughter around the supper table, and we always had plenty to eat. Thank you, Dad. I never realized how poor we really are." I guess poverty is in the eye of the beholder, I guess. And today in this gospel passage, Jesus is kind of inviting us to reflect on our own poverty, perhaps. And we have this story, and these are day laborers. We're so distant from this, but some parts of the United States yet, where the crops get ready at different times, you have to have those day laborers, those people that you can hire at a moment's notice, because you're not going to keep them on the roll year-round if they're only picking for a week or 2 or 3 weeks. And in Israel, when the grapes are ready, you got to pick them. And so these day laborers were looking for work. So there they gather in the marketplace, and the landowner goes out and finds them, and "I will pay you the usual daily wage." If you remember all the way back to last week, I talked about talents and denarius. Talents are 6,000 days' wages, denarius, one usual daily wage. That's enough to pay for a family to eat, some of their housing, some of their expenses of the olive oil that they needed to light their lamps, if they were going to have lamps in the shadows of their house. Maybe save up a little bit, but not a whole lot. And day laborers would have lived from day to day to day. And so when the landowner offers them a job right away in the morning, they are pleased. And they go out and work. And again, vineyards, we have to assume it's picking the grapes. That's hard work. It's back-breaking work. You clip the grapes down. You put them in your sack. You carry the sack, 100 of pounds or so. That when the sack gets full or too heavy for you, do you take it to the cart? You dump it in the cart, and you repeat the process over and over and over. As the sun is beating down on you, it's hot, heavy, and they work all day. On top of that, they counted days or hours differently. We count hours by minutes and seconds, right? 60 minutes to an hour, 60 seconds to a minute. They didn't do that. here. 6 o'clock was at dawn, whenever dawn was. 6 o'clock in the evening was always dusk, whenever dusk was. So it wasn't always 12-hour periods of 60 minutes each. Sometimes it was longer. And so they're working in the heat of all day, maybe 12, 13, 14 hours of work. But the master knows that he needs more help. And so he goes out to the marketplace at 9 o'clock, and he tells them, I will pay you a just wage. Just go out into my vineyard. And so they go. And at noon and at 3 o'clock, he's finding more and more workers. And he goes out at 5 o'clock, Jesus says. Now, I know this is parable, but it happened. Sometimes the day laborers weren't in the right spot to hear the invitation of those that needed help. Sometimes, through no fault of their own, they're simply there all day and they don't find work. At 5 o'clock in the evening, they probably didn't want to go home. At 5 o'clock in the evening, they probably feared going home to tell their wives and to tell their family, I'm sorry, but we might have to go hungry tomorrow because I didn't have a job today. We might have to lose our house if this continues, that I don't find proper work each day. And so you can imagine some of their joy as the landowner says, go into my vineyard, that finally they've received that invitation. Maybe they didn't expect the full day's wage, but at least they could go home with something to fill their bellies and the bellies of their family the next day. Maybe just enough. Can you imagine their joy when the landowner decides it's time to pay them? And they would pay them at the end of the day. That's how day laborers worked. That these ones who had only worked 1 hour suddenly had enough to make their daily wage, that they could buy those things that they needed, that they had what they needed, that the master loved them and cared for them, was generous enough to them to give them what they needed. But notice, while they're looking at what the master had given, the ones who had been out all day are looking at what the master had given them, not themselves, given those that had only worked an hour. And that envy crops up. And envy is a demon that just devours. You made these ones equal to us. They only worked 1 hour, and we worked in the heat of the day. We worked hard for you, and you made them equal to us. And he points out, look, we negotiated. I paid you what was fair. I paid you what you said you needed to work. So take what's yours and go. Am I not able to do what I want with my money? See, the landowner was actually going broke in the process. If you do that over and over again, people are going to go out and they're going to stop hiding or stop working until about 5 o'clock. The landowner knew. Trusted his people, these day laborers, enough. So he was generous with them. And so often in our own lives, we look at what others have, and we might get a little jealous. We might get envious. You gave them all that, God, and what'd you give me? We allow envy to eat us up. And sometimes we allow greed on the other side to eat us up, that we just need more and more and more. And this parable reminds us God gives us exactly what we need. And when we focus on what God gives others and not what he gives ourselves, we're consumed by greed and envy. In the end, there's nothing. There's nothing that gives us joy. Really, the response, and the only response, is a heart of gratitude. That the master has provided everything I need, that he has given me everything I need, that he cannot give me anything less than what I need, if I just trust in him. And that heart of gratitude then is, thank you for giving me what I need. And that's not to say that there's not hardships, there's not to say there's bills that are easy to pay or aren't easy to pay or whatever it is. But it's a recognition that God gives us what we need, and if we live in conformity with what God gives us, if we live with thankfulness in our hearts, if we strive to do well with what he has given, well, then we have that sense of gratitude and the sense of joy that God provides. We stop looking at what God has given everyone else and start realizing what God has given us. That heart of gratitude is one that's so necessary for all of us. In the next few weeks, the church gives us continues in the Gospel of Matthew. And the Gospel of Matthew in the next few weeks that we have, as it's given to us in the lectionary, really talk about a sense of stewardship, which is understanding that everything we have and everything we are is God's gift to us, and that we are not owners and masters of it, but rather stewards, that we take care of it. And that when God gives us something, it's for something else. It's for the good of our family, good of our town, our nation. That it's not given to us as something we can manipulate, something we can destroy, but rather something that can be used. And the heart of a steward is a sense of, God has given me everything, so I, in return, give God everything. And it begins with gratitude. It's a necessary virtue. So the next weeks, I will talk about the different virtues and gifts that we need as stewards, that we truly need as stewards in order to be disciples, in order to be stewards who live this out. And this last week, there was a particular mass that I won't say which one, because all of them, ultimately, I have that sense, but I was overwhelmed by a sense of gratitude. Overwhelmed, to the point that I was almost in tears. And I couldn't unpack it at that moment because of mass. And because of various other things, I couldn't unpack it. And Friday afternoon with my spiritual director, I was able to unpack it. And I realized what it was, that when I have that sense of gratitude, and when I remember that I ought to be grateful for everything I have, and there was a sense of profound gratitude for being assigned here. Not that I haven't had it before. And not that it's always easy. But that profound sense that God has called me to this particular parish, these particular parishes at this time, this place, for a good reason. And how good is God? And when things happen, when bad things happen, or where something happens that I don't fully understand, this last week and a half or so, to go back to that moment of gratitude and say, there's a reason. I don't always understand it. But God has appointed me to be a steward of these parishes, and I need to return in gratitude. That God has given me so much. Who am I to complain about the bad things? I need to start focusing on the good. If all of us would turn with a heart of gratitude this week to the Lord, to remember what He has given us, to focus on what He has given us. And I know there's that pious platitude. I didn't share this with the others because it is a platitude. But if you woke up tomorrow with only the things you thank God for today, what would you have? It's a cop-out to say, by the way, everything. To name them specifically this day, this week, to realize and make a list of those things that we have to be most grateful for. And maybe we start with the things that are most undeserved. And when we realize that all is ultimately undeserved, and we're grateful for all those things that God has given us, then we have the heart of a steward.